This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Good Bad Billionaire from the BBC World Service.
The podcast exploring the minds, the motives and the money of some of the world's richest individuals.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In past centuries, France sent out more missionaries than any other country to spread Christianity in Africa. Now, African missionaries are coming to baptize Europeans.
Before, it was our priests who went to Africa. Now it's the turn of African priests to come here.
They're needed because France is facing a priest shortage of dramatic proportions. For every 10 priests France had in the year 2000, it now has only 3.
Two bishops told me that without the Africans, the church in France would collapse.
I'm John Lawrenson, and you're listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service. On this week's Heart and Soul, which explores personal approaches to faith, I've come to Alsace in the east of France to meet one of the 2,500 African priests in this country. They've been sent as missionaries by bishops back home in countries like Senegal, Ivory Coast, Gabon, Cameroon and Burkina Faso to help keep Europe's Christian communities alive. Father Michel Mukendi, at the wheel of his small car, singing a hymn from the Congo as we zip through the Alsatian countryside. The villages we pass are called things like Reinhardtsmünster and Dimstal, because for much of its history, Alsace was German. Father Michel is the parish priest of Marmoutier, a small town not far from the city of Strasbourg. But that's not all. He spends quite a lot of his time crisscrossing these rolling green hills in his car. Because there's such a shortage of priests, his flock is spread over 11 villages with 12 churches.
I am Father Michel Mukendi Mbayabu. I was born in Kolwezi in the southeast of the Democratic Republic of Congo and grew up in the capital, Kinshasa, a city of 17 million people. I was brought up in a very, very Christian family. My father went to Mass at 6 every morning before going to work, and he took me along too. But that's what it was like in our household. Then, like now, if I don't start my day by going to Mass, I feel uneasy, as if I'm missing something. Anyway, my father worked at the Catholic University of Kinshasa, where he met a lot of priests who were fulfilled and happy. And he used to say he wished a child of his would enter the priesthood or a monastic order. When I thought about what I'd be when I grew up, I never saw myself as a father of a family, but standing in front of a congregation preaching. We used to play church with my brothers and sisters, and I was always the priest.
Entre nous, frères et sœurs, et j'étais en train d'imiter les prêtres. Voilà, je disais des messes entre guillemets, quoi. Vous comprenez?
He nevertheless studied to become something else, a health sector manager, before a few words spoken by a priest changed his life forever. His parish priest was French and a member of the Spiritans religious congregation.
One
day, in the middle of a conversation, he said, "I see in you a very good priest." I was really taken aback, but he insisted, "Yes, I see in you a very good priest." And I thought to myself, "His will be done."
Soon after he'd begun his studies at the seminary, the Second Congo War broke out. It's sometimes called Africa's World War, as so many neighbouring countries got involved. The conflict claimed millions of lives, many through disease and malnutrition. They were dark days for the Congo and dark days for the trainee priest. In Kinshasa, it was a bloodbath, he says. and normal life fell apart. In order to get to his internship, for example, he had to travel 3 days on the Congo River in a dugout canoe because the rail links had been cut.
C'était dur, c'était dur, c'était dur.
He was ordained on the 14th of July, Bastille Day, the French national holiday, his French spiritual father's idea. He was now a priest, a member of the Spiritans. This religious congregation was founded in France in 1703 with the aim of sending missionaries to places, as Father Michel puts it, where the church finds it hard to find workers. Back then that meant Africa, now it means Europe. So he left a country emerging from a conflict marked by lynchings, massacres and famine to come to France. But what he found here shocked him too.
I joined a team of chaplains working for the Auteuil Apprentice, a Catholic organization in Paris that shelters, educates, trains, and finds jobs for young people for whom the world has been a hard and horrible place. There were quite a few unaccompanied minors, migrants under the age of 18, who had arrived in France without their parents. They were young victims of sexual abuse. They were children whose parents were violent. So much material and spiritual misery.
Were you surprised to find that here?
Yes, I was. Very surprised. In Africa, we think that in Europe, there are no poor people. In Europe, everyone is rich. In Europe, when a child is born, he already has a nice, full bank account. It's not true. That was a surprise. Then, there was the spiritual crisis, which is something we don't really have where I come from. In Congo, young Catholics go and pray. They join different groups and movements. Young Protestants, too. Religion is firmly implanted in the people, and a lot of young people go to church.
After some years as a chaplain, he started to hanker after getting a parish of his own, a church, parishioners, a community, an array of people of different ages and different walks of life. And a few months later, found himself here, in a rural community near the Vosges Mountains, near the border with Germany.
C'est comme si j'ai quitté la France pour aller dans un autre pays.
It was like arriving in a different country. Everything was so different. And the climate was a shock. Hot in the summer and so cold in winter. But the people were very welcoming, very kind, very open.
Très gentil, très ouvert.
Though not everyone.
Pas trop, pas beaucoup. Il y en a quand même, mais je
There's not much rejection, but there is a bit. I don't let it bother me. For example, sometimes at mass people change queues because they prefer taking Holy Communion from the hands of a white person. Once in Paris, I officiated at a funeral and afterwards someone came up to me and said, "Excuse me, Father, but the deceased says that he didn't want to be buried by a black man and what you did was useless." A second person from the family came and told me, No, it wasn't the deceased. It's him. He's the racist, not the deceased." But I was really shocked. There are people like that sometimes.
You managed to brush it off?
Yes, and you know, it's not so different where I come from. Not everyone likes the Mundele, the whites. Not the Mundele, they say. Not the white, not him, not him. It's the same, the world over. In any case, whenever you arrive somewhere where the people are different, you have to respect the customs, respect the traditions. When the people here see that this priest from far away respects their culture, respects their traditions, they welcome you with open arms. It's only when you want to impose your law and reject their culture that they reject you. It's really important to be with the people, understand their life, and live what they live.
Et les vivre avec eux.
We arrive at a convent where Father Michel has come to say mass to the nuns. Alleluia, alleluia. Afterwards, I get talking to one of them, Sister Hélène.
Pour moi, c'est une grande richesse de d'avoir ces personnes d'autres cultures qui viennent.
For me, it's a great richness to have these people from other cultures who come and share our lives with us. What's more, they bring the testimony of the faith people have in Africa. There, people are so much more fervent in their belief. Everyone believes in God. And that is something challenging for us in the West. Some people complain about the accents. They say things like, I don't understand a word he says. I tell them to be patient, that it's normal that they should have a strong accent when they first arrive, and that it will get better. Some people also complain about the way they preach. Too moralizing, they say, too finger wagging. That's not what we're used to hear, and some of them can be a bit like that at the beginning, but again, they adapt. That's what I say to people. Give them time. They will adapt. And little by little, they do.
Ils changent et ils s'adaptent.
Vous êtes un peu nerveux avant le...
Do you get nervous before giving your sermons?
L'épreuve de l'homélie et tout ça?
Non, pas nerveux, mais concentré.
Not nervous, but concentrated. On a day when I have mass, the concentration starts in the shower. I put my ideas in order, and I start preparing the Sunday sermon on the Monday. I begin by meditating on the different readings, and it's only on a Thursday that I start writing my ideas down.
Have your sermons changed since you've been in France?
Yes, they have. When I first started preaching here, it was pure theology, a simple interpretation of the gospel reading. Now, with experience, I know the French mentality much better, and my sermons are more about real life. For example, we have 11 villages, which used to be separated into two separate parish communities, because people didn't want to mix. So sometimes my sermons were about unity. We are all the children of God. We are all the brothers and sisters of Jesus.
We arrive at a primary school in the town of Saverne, where Father Michel has come to teach religion. Alsace is different from the rest of France in that it allows the clergy to teach in public schools. In deference to the centuries past as part of the German world, Napoleon spared Alsace the strict separation of church and state that was imposed on the rest of the country after the revolution.
For example, I ask the children who Jesus is. Someone says he's the Son of God. Another says his mother has a Bible. Someone says Jesus turned water into wine. Another that he fed lots of people somewhere. I put a bit of order in their ideas, give them a framework. I don't tell them what to believe, but I tell them that for Christians, for those who do believe, Jesus is the Savior.
C'est lui le sauveur.
Comment ça va? Tu es en forme? Très bien. Où est ton frère?
Perhaps at this school, Father Michel tastes a little of what it's like to be a priest back in Africa, a person of importance, a focus for the community.
Where
I come from, priests have a high status. They are not like other people. People have a lot of respect for the priest. He is always surrounded by his parishioners. During the week, for example, people queue up to see the priest. He is asked to intervene when there are problems, to adjudicate when there are a feud between families, for example. There is what we call justice and peace commission in each parish to settle disputes. After Mass on Sunday, people gather around. Some of them bring offerings. Some bring food. They want to have lunch with you. Here, after Sunday Mass, it's thank you, Father. Good sermon. And that's it.
C'est bon, merci Père, c'était bien, bon, voilà.
A bit paradoxically, another difference is that lay people play a much bigger role in the life of the church in France than they do in Africa, as do women. There's a difference too on questions such as the blessing of same-sex couples, which Pope Francis says priests should do, but that African clergy oppose. Father Michel hasn't yet been asked to do this, but he's already baptised two children who each had two mothers. He doesn't actually have any choice in the matter, he tells me. But in any case, he respects these people, he says. It's their life. And of course, he accepts these children into the Christian community. As for the role of women, they're pillars of the church, here as elsewhere in Catholic Europe. And in Father Michel's church, just as in most others in France, lay women help the priest distribute Holy Communion to the congregation, just as lay men do. The church services are very different here than the ones you have in Congo, aren't they?
In Africa, people move when they sing. They dance. Here, what I've learned is that people keep their emotion inside. They can feel joy when they sing the Gloria, but without moving, without clapping their hands. They still feel the joy, though. It's just their way of praying.
I ask him to show me what a Congolese church service looks like, and he takes his phone, which has a beautiful picture of the Virgin Mary on its screen, taps in Mess Kinshasa, and a few seconds later...
That's the Gloria, see? The priest dancing and singing with the congregation.
I'm John Lawrenson, and you're listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service. I'm in rural France for this episode of Heart and Soul, where I've joined Father Michel Mukendi Mbayabu, a Congolese missionary.
Hello, I'm Simon Jack.
And I'm Zing Sing.
And together we host Good Bad Billionaire, the podcast exploring the minds, the motives and the money of some of the world's richest individuals.
Every episode, we pick a billionaire and we find out how they made their money.
And then we judge them. Are they good, bad, or just another billionaire?
Good Bad Billionaire from the BBC World Service.
Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Voilà, on peut commencer notre réunion avec un petit temps de prière. Au nom du Père et du Fils et du Saint-Esprit. Amen.
Notre Père. We're at a hall by a 1,000-year-old church made of the pink-hued granite quarried from the Vosges Mountains that colours the towns and villages here. Father Michel opens the meeting with a prayer.
Amen. Au nom du Père, du Fils et du Saint-Esprit.
Around him, 12 lay people are sat along a long table. It's a bit like the Last Supper, someone whispers. Each one represents one of the parishes that, because of the priest shortage, have been grouped under Father Michel's care. The meeting is to put the finishing touches to the calendar to decide when and in which church Mass will be said over the coming months. These people are all, of course, volunteers.
Ce que moi j'apprécie beaucoup, les gens...
You know what I really appreciate here? How people take charge of things. They say, it's our church. We are responsible for it. We can't leave the priest to do everything by himself. So there is a little army of people who sweep the church, do the accounts, take charge of the treasury, write the prayer of the faithful. They do such a brilliant work, each with his or her capacities, that exist in Africa, but it's much more developed here. It's about power as well. In Africa, the priest decides. Here, there are all sorts of meetings, and we take the decisions together.
Back in his trusty car, he enthuses about the conscientious, methodical, hard-working people he finds himself living among.
One of the qualities of the people of Alsace is that they take things seriously. They are rigorous. If they say they are going to be somewhere at a certain time, they make sure they are there at that time. When they take on a job, they put their heart into it and do it the best they can. That is one of these people's great qualities that I'm copying.
Like the Germans.
Like the Germans. Now, when I do something, I make sure I see it through to the end and that the work is done well. No doing things by halves. even if it means going to bed at 4 in the morning. I put in the time it takes.
And there's another thing Father Michel likes about the culture here, he says. The church choirs. They sing superbly well, enthuses Father Michel, as we walk up the stairs to the practice session of the Saint Cecile choir. There are people who come to church especially to hear them, he tells me. You're celebrating this year the 1,300th anniversary of the reconstruction of the Abbey, now Church of Marmoutier. Were you impressed to find vestiges of Christian Europe that go back such a long way?
I couldn't believe it at first that these buildings could date from so long ago. I had to go and check before I could really believe it. It was the first time I'd seen anything like it. In Kinshasa, the oldest churches are 80 or 90 years old. The colonizers built churches elsewhere in Congo that are older, but in the capital, the church is young.
Is there a bit of rejection of Christianity because of its association with colonization?
Yes, there is. Not rejection of Christianity generally, but of Catholicism, yes. When people see the Catholic way of celebrating the Mass, they say that comes from the whites who colonize us. And it's true that colonization and evangelization went hand in hand. Those in my country who reject Catholicism are usually people who have embraced the traditional beliefs with their ancestor worship and old customs. Many of these people reject Christianity.
But you are not bothered by that link with colonization?
No, I'm not. They brought us the gospel, and that was great wealth.
Father Michel, singing along with the Saint Cecile choir, is one of 3,000 foreign priests in this country, mostly from West Africa, but there are also sizable contingents from Vietnam and Poland. He was sent by his missionary organisation, but most of the others are here thanks to a Pope Pius XII encyclical of 1959 called Fidei Donum, The Gift of Faith. Fidei Donum priests are sent by their bishops on missions abroad for periods of 7 years. Not even Pope Pius could have guessed how useful his encyclical would have become in the continent that used to be called Christendom. In 1950, there were 1,000 ordinations in France. Last year, it was 88. The French birth rate, though higher than in Britain and the United States, for example, slumped below replacement level in the early 1980s. The number of practicing Christians, meanwhile, has fallen still further. There are now more French people who describe themselves as atheist or without religion than Christian. This, when I ask Father Michel for his explanation of France's priest shortage, is what he mentions first.
The main reason for the crisis in priestly vocations is a general crisis of faith. There are fewer and fewer people who believe, fewer and fewer who go to church, and that impacts the transmission of Christianity. When you meet parents between the ages of 35 and 60, say, you really get the impression that there is a void. It's difficult to imagine how, in those circumstances, their children are going to become priests or enter in the monastic orders. It's also modernity. People prefer to be free, to do whatever they like.
Is there a similar crisis in Africa?
It's starting. The young people now are more attached to their freedom, do not want to enter into a framework, do not want any constraint. There is a drop in the number of young men entering the seminaries and even in the parishes now, even if it's nothing like here in Europe. The lack of priests is starting to make itself felt.
It's my last day in Alsace, and as I make my way into church for Mass, I hear people speaking Alsatian, the local dialect, which is very close to German. Alsace was, for the best part of a millennium, inside the Holy Roman Empire, whose central culture and language was German, before becoming the object of a tug of war between France and Germany over the past few hundred years. Until recently, the weekday masses in this church were all in Alsatian because that was the only language many of the older parishioners understood. And even at this mass, the last hymn is in German. So, will Christianity here go the same way as the Alsatian language, half remembered by a grey-haired few in some mumbled prayers? Alsace, in any case, is a reminder that empire, country, language, religion, nothing is necessarily permanent.
In my community of parishes, we have about 70 funerals a year. That's a lot of people. In an average year, we have 20, 22 baptisms.
Do you have the impression you're coming to the assistance of a church in danger coming here?
Yes and no. Yes, because there is a shortage of priests. No, because the church is universal. Before the Europeans brought us the word of the gospel to us. Now, luckily, thanks God they accept us. We are bringing the word of the Gospels to the Europeans. We are on a mission that God has entrusted us with, and it is a universal one. But it is true that two bishops have said to me that without us, the church in France would collapse.
Sans les Africains, l'église de France ne peut pas tenir.
Europe is, more and more, missionary territory. But for the thousands of priests who've come here from countries that have so far kept the faith, it must sometimes seem like stony ground. We're only the sowers, says Father Michel. It's God who makes the seeds grow. We sow today, but we don't know what will grow tomorrow. Only God knows. You've been listening to An African Missionary in France on Heart and Soul from the BBC World Service with me, John Lawrenson. The series producer is Rajiv Gupta.
Hello, I'm Simon Jack.
And I'm Zing Sing.
And together we host Good Bad Billionaire, the podcast exploring the minds, the motives and the money of some of the world's richest individuals.
Every episode, we pick a billionaire and we find out how they made their money.
And then we judge them. Are they good, bad, or just another billionaire?
Good, Bad Billionaire from the BBC World Service.
Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.